You have to figure out what makes sense for you, but you have to give yourself that space to break away, to think, be strategic, and separate that CEO role from the worker bee role.
Welcome to the Pro Photographer Journey Podcast, your resource for building the photography business of your dreams. This is Shamira Young, bringing you tips, business strategies, and interviews with award-winning photographers. We're all in this together. Let's get to the good stuff. Hey everybody, I'm here with wedding and portrait photographer Brian Caparici. Now he's the founder of Sprouting Photographer, a website and podcast dedicated to actionable how-to education for photographers. And he's also the CEO and founder of Sprout Studio, the photography industry's first all-in-one studio management software. There we go. Hey, Brian, how are you?
Hey, Shamira, thanks for having me on the podcast.
You know, I'm totally pumped to talk to you because I love talking to other photographers, obviously, but I also love chatting with photographers who are in the business of educating and helping other photographers up their business game. So I know a bit about you. I've given that very brief intro, but please give us an overview of yourself, your background, and how you ended up doing what you're doing today.
Awesome. Yeah, great. Be happy to. So I've been a full-time professional wedding and portrait photographer for about 10 years now. I actually got into photography because I saw it as a great business opportunity, which is sort of interesting because most photographers get into it because they like the creative side of what they do. Mm-hmm. I didn't even know what an f-stop was until the week after I started my photography business, believe it or not, which is sort of funny.
That's awesome. So
I got into it because I saw it as a great entrepreneurship opportunity. And then learned the art and craft of photography after that. So because of that, I've always had a love for business. You know, I've always really just sort of sunk my teeth into topics like marketing and sales and pricing and things that most photographers often shy away from. They don't like those kinds of things. And I think because of that, I've been able to see hyper growth in my own photography business. I was quickly sort of rising to the top of my local area after only a couple of years of being in business. And I was at the top of the market in terms of pricing. And then in terms of the value that I'm giving for that pricing, again, only after a couple of years of being in business. And I realized, there's a reason for that, right? There's a reason. It's because I focused on business. And after having been to WPPI and a lot of conventions and talking with a lot of local photographers, I realized photographers hate business. So about 6 or 7 years ago, I kind of took it to myself to say, I want to help photographers succeed in business. So myself and Rob Knoll, who's my business partner here at Sprout, started teaching local workshops about pricing and anything to do with business. We actually wrote a book, Shamira, on pricing for photographers about 6.5 years ago.
Ooh, what's the title of the book?
It's called Pricing for Profit. It is. You can get it on Amazon.
Ooh.
Pricing for Profit. It's sort of one of the go-to books for pricing for photographers. And in fact, there's a few colleges and universities that use it as like the textbook for teaching a course on pricing for photographers.
Excellent.
Yeah. So it's kind of interesting. So, you know, Rob and I were doing that and it was only a few years after that. So now we're kind of looking back around 2011, 2012, where I said, running a photography business, a wedding photography business, a portrait photography business should not be as complicated as it is. You know, I said, I am a very, I love business. I also have a technical background because I went to school for computer science. So I love the nitty gritty of, you know, getting into programs and figuring things out. And I love to break systems down. And I said, if I'm having a difficult time keeping on top of everything and organizing everything, I said, there's got to be other photographers that are feeling the same way. So I kind of made it my mission to get out there and look for something better. I couldn't find it. So I started to create it. And so Sprout Studio was born. And that's sort of what leads us to where we are today. And from having launched Sprout Studio, we launched sproutingphotographer.com, which was basically our way of taking what Rob and I had been doing for years in person for workshops and bringing it to the masses online. So now we've got sproutingphotographer.com that is just chock full of like business education, articles, podcasts for photographers that really helps them dig into the nitty gritty of how to run a successful photography business.
So I'm super curious. You went to school for computer science.
Yeah.
Did you just decide one day, I'm going to start a photography business, even
yeah,
though you
so,
didn't, like, how did, what in the world, Brian?
It's like, how does point A connect to point B over here?
Right.
So what happened is, because I was in school for computer science, obviously, you know, people around me, acquaintances, family, friends knew that I was into computers. So there was a local photographer that actually photographed all of the gymnastics events and basketball events and a bunch of sports photography, sort of niche type stuff, that he said he was looking for someone to do the computer stuff in his business. So he knew my parents, and I ended up getting a summer job through him the first year of university. And from there, I was just like, this photography thing seems really interesting. You know, I've always been into entrepreneurship. In fact, funny story, in grade 11, I took an entrepreneurship course where we had to start a business. I actually started an online grocery store and I made the entire business model for it. And I went on to the regional competition to win in the top five there, because I just had this vision for sort of how to chunk apart a business.
Wow.
So I've always loved business. And so working for this sports photographer, I realized, you know, this is a great space to be. I really enjoy it. It seems to be fun. There seems to be a lot of good things to it. There seems to be great potential. So I said, I'm going to start my own photography business.
So most, I guess people start off as hobbyists, I would imagine.
Mm-hmm.
And then they
yep.
kind of step into it.
Yep.
And we think that we'll be taking more photos. Imagine that. And what we find is that, you know, I've heard different ratios, but I know for my business, it's about 20%
yep.
taking photos, 80% business stuff. And recently, I actually outlined all the steps that I go through from the moment a potential client tells me they're interested in, oh, you have the same cup. Okay, for our listeners, we're on video right now. And Brian totally picked up a cup, the same Sprout Studio cup that I have. Okay, I got
nice.
Really excited. And so I outline the steps from the moment someone tells me they're interested all the way through the shoot to the follow-up and the thank you card or whatever thank you gift I send them. And for me, and this was just an overview, so I'm sure I skipped some steps, 25 mm-hmm. steps.
Yep.
Two of those steps were actually taking photos. It was crazy.
Right.
So, you know, and that's why I started this podcast, because many of us kind of step into it and we don't know what we're stepping into. So the more I can help, the better. And
yep.
it's interesting talking to you, because so you started kind of in a different way.
Mm-hmm.
But I think that almost, dare I say it, put you at an advantage, because you knew how important the business side was.
Agreed. Yeah. You know, Shamira, I think that photographers that will succeed in business and succeed as a photographer are those that actually give space in their life and in their business to focus on business. I really think that perhaps once upon a time, you know, being a great photographer was enough. I would argue that perhaps that was never really the case, but I think that, you know, in previous years, being a good photographer could get you far enough, you know, to at least reach sort of a smaller circle of influence to you know, get business from.
Mm-hmm.
But I think that today, with the way that the industry is changing and the way that society is changing and the way that we appreciate photography is changing, I really think that only those that will succeed are the ones that will actually give attention to business when running their business. I actually recommend, I love to say to photographers, you are an entrepreneur and you chose photography. You are not a photographer in business.
Ooh.
And I think that when you change way that you look at things like that,
yeah.
then all of a sudden business gets a bit of a bigger stage in your life.
Oh, that's huge. I'm over here writing down quotable moments, timestamping
it.
So
tweetables.
Right. Exactly. Exactly. So then I'm curious, how much weight do you think a great photo carries these days?
It's an interesting question, because I think that my instinct is to say that, you know, the photography itself, and I hate to say this on a photography podcast or as a photographer and a creative myself, I hate to say this, but the photograph itself is almost, it needs to have an assumed quality, in the sense that if someone's hiring you to be a photographer, it's assumed you're a good photographer.
Mm-hmm.
Everything else is what needs to fall into place properly. And that's where I think the biggest challenge is. That being said, I think when a photographer can approach their business and approach their creativity and how they see the world as a photographer with intent, can they start to make imagery that is so much more meaningful and has a much deeper purpose, so that the photography can actually help you stand out as a photographer. But I think that most photographers don't approach it with that level of intentionality.
Yeah. And with all this, the fads going on and the different styles, and we're just flooded and inundated right. with images. It's right. kind of easy to look at what other people are doing and kind of do that without being intentional mm-hmm. about the photograph. So knowing how to make a great photo is pretty standard. Like you said, it's expected, yeah. but you yep. know, the intention behind it. I know the photographer, Tim Wallace, he, awesome auto photographer. And he was saying that it's your style that can really set you apart mm-hmm. as well as the business. And this was during a business class that he was teaching right. in Chicago. And I had the pleasure of hearing him speak. And he talked about the business, but also the style of the photo that you take as well.
Yeah. Well, and the interesting thing about that is when you think about what is style, style is your ability to intentionally make a decision and move in that direction. Mm-hmm. Right? Like a mm-hmm. style doesn't just happen on accident. And so therein lies, I guess my point is, right, is that, you know, you can be a great photographer. You can technically make a perfectly exposed image. You can technically have a perfectly posed image, and anyone can learn how to do that. But it's having that level of purpose in the imagery that you create that then defines the style that then sort of helps guide your trajectory in terms of success.
Yes. Oh, yes. I wish they would have been teaching us this stuff in art school 10 years ago. I loved art school. Don't get me wrong. I would be right. there forever if I could. But,
right.
you know, it's these things that it's taken me like a decade.
Right.
Catch on to, apparently. So you are a wedding and portrait photographer mm-hmm. currently.
Yep.
And, you know, I guess how much of your time are you spending doing that? And yeah.
that's a fun question. So like I said, I've been doing it for 10 years. Mm-hmm. And up until this summer that we're currently in right now of 2016, I've been full time. And so it's been 100% of my income, 100% of my attention has been in being a photographer. Last year, as things were ramping up with Sprout Studio and everything we've been doing, I've been working two full time jobs, you mm-hmm. know, as a wedding photographer, but then also as the CEO and founder and visionary here at Sprout Studio. This year, things are changing a little bit because Sprout needs more of my attention. And now we're serving thousands of photographers versus just serving 30 brides and grooms. Right. So it needs my guidance sort of in Sprout Studio. So this year is the first year that I've made an intentional decision to scale my wedding photography business back a tiny little bit.
Well, I love that you have that background, mm-hmm. you know, that you've done it for years and right. years and right. you know the challenges that photographers face.
Right.
And I have to say firsthand that looking at how the software works, because I use it for my own business mm-hmm. and I started using it earlier this year, actually, before I ever met you or before I ever knew, because I met your business partner, Rob, as well
yep.
at WPPI. So I signed up before I ever knew I was going to come in contact with him. I was just woo-hoo! Like, I need this. I know. It was between you and 17 Hats.
Right.
17 Hats is go. Awesome. Don't get me wrong. Because I've talked to them too. They've got a great yeah, crew.
They really
but
do.
But it's just the care and attention to detail and the yep. workflow yep. challenges that a photographer faces. It's very clear that you understand that in your software. And yeah. I see why now, because you are a photographer yourself and you've been a full-time photographer yep. for years.
Well, I think the thing is too that I've sort of, you know, had to remind myself of through the growth that we've seen in Sprout is I don't ever want to lose sight of that. You know, I do love photography. Although I didn't get into it because I love photography, I felt, you know, went into it because I like business. Over the 10 years, I mean, I have just fallen in love with photography and I love everything that photography can do for us. And I think that there's a greater need for great photographers now than there's ever been, mm. especially because the way that we consume media and the way that we consume imagery. Mm. So I still love it. And I don't ever want to get out of wedding photography because I genuinely love weddings. In fact, this summer has been tough for me because I haven't been shooting every single weekend like I have for the last 10 years. Mm. And although, you know, that's been great because now I've got children so I can go to soccer games and things like that with my mm-hmm. kids and my family, I sort of have this thing inside of me that's like, gosh, I miss shooting. You know, I really miss being out there and photographing and being in the rush of a wedding day. I've always been energized from that and I've always enjoyed it. So I don't ever want to lose sight of that, both because I love it personally, but also because the need that we serve through Sprout Studio is directly related to what we do as photographers. And I want to stay so closely connected to it so that I don't lose vision of that.
So I'm curious, let's rewind back. What did you say? 10 years
yeah.
when you first started your photography business, wedding and portrait. Mm-hmm. My question to you is, how did you gain traction? You said that within about 2 years, you were basically killing it in your area.
Yeah.
And I know a lot of the listeners are at that stage where they're trying to gain traction, find clients. So what were some of the things that you did to really get rolling?
You know, it's funny because 10 years ago, things were totally different. And I almost feel old saying that, right? It's like, oh, 10 years, the game has changed so much. And I mean, it really has, right? I mean, I look at someone like Rob, who we've talked about, or my business partner here, he's been in business for, I think, 30 years or like 35 years or something crazy like that. And it's like, my goodness, the change that he has seen and the fact that he has kept up with it. Like, oh my gosh, talk about adapting to change. He is the king at that. But what I've seen over the past 10 years is that, you know, when I started, there was a huge focus on, or there was a huge trend or a huge change in changing from focusing on the photography to focusing on the photographer. Mm. And so I really made a point, and one of the guys that really led this change, in my opinion, is Dane Sanders, who is really, you know, he wrote the book Fast Track Photographer, and that was the whole hypothesis of his entire research in the book, is to say that we have to focus on the photographer. We've got to put the people back into it. And that was a big thing that I did, that I focused on when I started my business, is it was all about relationships. And what I did was I chose very specific things to focus my time and attention on that gave me greater growth than other things would have given me if I had spent the same amount of time into it. So basically what I mean is, if you have 2 hours to spend on something, you can spend it on probably 100 different things. Of those 100 things, one or two of them will give you massive growth and will lead you to great success. The other 98 of them will kind of maybe get you by, maybe some of them will fizzle out. None of them will really get you that traction. So what I've been able to do, sort of in my head, just the way that I break things down, is I look at opportunities and quickly assess, is it worth pursuing or not? And then based on that, I would either pursue it or not pursue it. And so I chose to spend my time only on those things that really gave me huge growth. And so that's, I think, how I was able to sort of skyrocket from where I was as a newer photographer with not much experience to then all of a sudden, you know, getting to the top of the area locally.
So how do we evaluate those things that are worth pursuing?
There's a couple things. I'm actually sort of in the process right now of sort of churning this all out, because I've, after having talked to thousands and thousands of photographers and seeing these trends of some photographers just fizzling out, whereas other photographers would really get that traction. Mm-hmm. I've been trying to figure out, what are those things? You know, like for me, it happens just intuitively. That's the way that my mind works. I break things down like that.
Must be nice, Brian.
Well, I would. I mean, and I'm trying to find ways to teach that. I'm trying to find ways to put that into words and into like a metric or something that you can actually say, here's how I can evaluate an opportunity to see if it's worth pursuing or not. So I'm actually in the process of sort of finessing that out. But where I'm at right now is to say, what are the things that indicate success or indicate growth in a business? And I don't mean success in the sense that you want to have work-life balance, or you want to have more money, or you want to have more free time. That's not necessarily the success I mean, but more what makes a tactic or an opportunity indicate growth to say, this is worth putting my time into. Yeah. And I think there's a couple of areas. One would be, does it generate new business for you? Mm-hmm. In the sense of, does it bring you new leads? Does it bring you new bookings? Does it increase the spending of current clients? Does it increase profitability? That is an indicator that an opportunity is worth pursuing. Another indicator might be the future potential of one of those. So that would be what we like to call branding, right? Mm-hmm. If something could increase your leads or your bookings or your client spending in the future, then that's probably also worth pursuing. Again, there's sort of a rating scale of how do you sort of measure all these things and how do you compare them? But those are the metrics that I would use to measure it. I'd also like to look at, does it improve efficiency? You know, does it help me save time? Hmm. Because I like to look at what we do as photographers in two different sort of areas, right? One being that we are the boss, the CEO of our own business. And that's where we make all the strategic decisions for our business. That's where we step back and say, where can I grow? Where should I focus my time? Where can I go next? You know, that's strategy. Mm-hmm. The next sort of mode that we live in is called what I call worker bee mode. And that's when we're kind of working in our business, right? And that's when we're photographing and editing and emailing and blogging and doing all like the grind of running a photography business. Mm-hmm. And oftentimes, you know, it needs to be separated, but photographers don't spend enough time in CEO mode. So my opinion is that if we can find ways to save time when we're in worker bee mode, you know, if we can find an efficiency, or if we can optimize a process, or if we can save time in some other way, then we can spend more time in CEO mode, which is where the magic really happens. CEO mode is where we make decisions that lead to exponential growth, because it's not just time in, money out. like it is in worker bee mode. If you want to be successful as a photographer, worker bee mode is time in, money out. You shoot for 5 hours, you get paid for 5 hours. But when you can make some decisions strategically in CEO mode, you can get exponential growth out of that. So the more time we spend in CEO mode, the greater we can grow and the quicker we can grow. So efficiency and saving time, in my opinion, is an indicator of growth because it allows you to spend your time more strategically. And in my opinion, the last indicator of growth would be improving your skill set. Now, when I say improving your skill set, I think a lot of photographers talk about the idea of skill set and knowledge and going to workshops and listening and learning and things like that. But I actually think that the idea of learning in and of itself does not indicate growth. Because I actually believe, you know, contrary to popular belief, that knowledge is not power. I actually think knowledge is cheap. I think knowledge is sort of like a throwaway thing that we can all get so easily. You can read any blog, you can listen to any podcast, you can go to any workshop, you can read a magazine, whatever you want to do, you can consume knowledge today like never before. It is insane how we can consume knowledge, but very few people actually do anything with that knowledge. And I believe that if you don't leave with knowledge that has changed you, or if you don't apply the knowledge in a way that affects your business and helps you grow, then that knowledge wasn't worth consuming anyways, because it didn't change who you are. It didn't affect you in any way. So I believe that if you truly take knowledge and then apply it and actually improve your fundamental skill set, then it can be an indicator of growth, because that now you're raising the standards, you're raising the bar so that everything you do from this point forward is operating under this new assumption of an improved skill set. So those are the four sort of indicators of growth, in my opinion, that when I'm looking at an opportunity to pursue, whether it's going to a workshop, doing a trade show, pursuing a marketing opportunity, doing a sale, doing a promotion with another you know, local business, I like to look at those four sort of metrics and say, how am I rating on, how is this opportunity going to rate on those four things in comparison to the time that I have to put into it, right? Because something might bring you massive amounts of leads, but if it takes 6 months of your time at 20 hours a week, maybe it's actually not worth it. So you kind of have to have that check and balance to compare it against how much effort it takes in order for you to pursue it.
Give us an overview of the four again. Somehow I got five.
Yeah, so new business. So like, does it generate increased spending in new business for yourself? Does it give you the future potential of that? Does it improve your efficiency, or does it improve your skill set?
Excellent. And, you know, the statement that you made about knowledge being cheap, you know, initially when you said that, I wasn't expecting you.
You're like, wait a minute, what?
Are you kidding me? However, you know, when you frame it in as far as the way things are today and just how much stuff is out there.
Yep.
And we have more access to information than at any point in history. I absolutely can begin to see what you're saying, because it's easy to sign up for new online courses or read whatever articles or even podcasts and books and ebooks. There's everything out there.
Yep.
But yeah, it's harder to actually put that into play for your business, for sure.
Yeah, it's like we're in this space of information overload. Like I've said many times, you could probably lock yourself in a room with a computer and an internet access, consume education, just education, whether it be blogs or podcasts or ebooks or newsletters or anything, for like a month, and you still would walk out of that room having not been able to read everything you possibly could read or consume everything you could consume. There's so much that we can consume. And I think that that's the problem. You know, we get hungry to consume more before we actually think about the fact that we haven't done anything with what we just consumed.
Well, sometimes, you know, it's easier, right? To keep consuming and not take action.
It's the difference between inspiration and action. You know, like I've seen so many photographers that will walk away from a workshop or walk away from a class or something and say, gosh, that's just gotten me so fired up. I'm so inspired. And I say, great. So what are you going to do with that? You know, and if you leave and the next day that inspiration fizzles out, because it does, then what? If you haven't changed, if you have a changed perspective, at least that's something that has changed you, right? Like, that's great. If you can be inspired and then change your outlook or your perspective, that then influences growth for you, great. But most photographers get all jazzed up, and then I talk to them the week later and say, so what'd you do with all that? And they say, oh, you know, not much. It's like, okay, so that wasn't really worth going to. That wasn't worth consuming. But we have this need, this pull, this desire to consume more. And I don't think that consumption is the answer. I think that action is the answer.
If you're looking for a way to speed up your workflow and quickly take your photos to the next level, check out the professional Lightroom presets we're offering on ProPhotographerJourney.com. With a single click, use these presets as a solid starting point when editing your photos, and then customize each Lightroom effect to your liking. Your friends, family, and clients will be amazed at your photos. These preset styles include soft and subtle, all the way to dramatic and edgy. Just head to ProPhotographerJourney.com and check it out. And you mentioned the worker bee mode. Have you read The E-Myth Revisited by Michael Gerber?
I have many, many years ago. I remember reading that as one of the first books I read.
Yeah, and he mentions the technician, which describes a lot of people where we get stuck in that worker bee, that technician mode, as opposed to thinking about strategy or planning for the future. We have a lot of challenges as business owners. We wear a lot of hats.
Yep.
Now, because you deal with a lot of photographers, you educate a lot of photographers, and I'm sure you talk to a lot of photographers, what have you found to be one of the most challenging aspects of running a business for other photographers, would you say? And then how do we overcome that?
Yeah, I think it actually revolves around this very idea that we're talking about today, that it's like there's so many things that you could do. Mm-hmm. You know, if I were to look at any photographer on any given day at any point in their business and say, what could you do today? You know, there's probably 100 things that they could do, whether that be actually doing some work on something, whether that be shooting, whether that be consuming education, whether it be thinking of a new marketing opportunity. There's so many things that we could do. And I think so many photographers don't know which one to choose. Mm-hmm. And many of them either just waste time because there's too many choices. You know, it's the whole like, what's the term? You end up choosing nothing because there's too many choices. There's a concept for that, but paralyzation, something.
Yeah, we're thinking of the same thing right now.
Paralysis by analysis. That's what it is.
Yes.
So paralysis by analysis says that because there's so many choices, you're so overwhelmed, you end up choosing none. Mm-hmm. You know, so I think that many photographers then end up spinning their wheels. They end up wasting time. They end up on Facebook or watching YouTube videos or mindlessly consuming things that aren't really going to move the needle for them. So instead of doing something that could affect some benefit in their business, they end up doing nothing, or they end up choosing the wrong things to focus on. So I think that that idea of knowing where to focus, of having an intentional direction that you want to go into and then driving towards that, I think that is the biggest hurdle that most photographers will face.
So full disclosure, before we hopped on Skype for this call, I was actually doing some work in my photography business, and I was still am experiencing frustration and trying to pick and choose what I need to work on. Because there, like you're saying, there's so many things, and trying to nail down, you know, what's going to be the most effective in bringing in new clients or, you know, communicating. I was working on my website this morning. So communicating my message and sending the right signals to attract the right clients, it can be frustrating and it can be overwhelming. But even just looking at the 4 points that you gave us, as far as identifying what would be the most worthwhile as far as fostering growth in our business, I think that's really helpful. I really do.
Well, and the interesting thing, using this as a framework to kind of decide what to focus on and what not to focus on. Let's say that you're looking at something like redoing your website, which I think a lot of photographers do often, and not Shamira to pick on you and the example you gave.
Give it to me.
But so many photographers will focus and spend so much time tinkering with their website, right? And just finessing and doing all these little things. Mm-hmm. And I believe that it's those little things that, you know, really your time isn't best spent doing anyways, right? Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. That won't give you the kind of return that spending that same time on, or less time on, something else more effective would give you. Mm. So for example, right, a photographer might sit down and spend an entire week revamping their website and doing a new brand, doing all this. And I think actually a week is probably an underestimate in terms of what most photographers would spend with tinkering if they were really honest with themselves. And I think honesty is missing a lot of the times too. I think that we see what we want to see as opposed to what is actually happening. Mm-hmm. I'll digress from that. But you know, we could spend a week or 2 weeks tinkering with our website and doing those kinds of things. What kind of return is that going to give us? What if you went and took 2 days out of a week and went and took two different business owners out for lunch and strategized as to how you could run a promotion together with them? Do a co-promotion. You market to their business, they market to your business. You have a sale together. You do something. You do a wall portrait, a viewing or something together, right?
Mm-hmm.
That will bring you more business, more likely, for the 2 hours that you'd spent there than 2 weeks that you'd spent finessing your website. And I just think that in being honest with ourselves and in evaluating based on these metrics, that's where we can choose to spend the time that we have in the right places to see the biggest results.
Wow. Okay. I'm running out of room on my little, actually it's not a little piece of paper. It's a big one for my notes. So being honest with ourselves. Okay. That's, I'm going to kind of blindside you with this next question
because
it's not one that I sent you.
Let's
but
do it.
How do we do that? How do we separate ourselves from our business, from our body of work when we're so closely tied to it? I think sometimes it seems almost impossible to evaluate where we are and where our businesses are.
I think it's not as complicated as most people might think. I think intuitively we all know. You know, I think we all know where we're at. Mm-hmm. We know that we're not spending our time properly. But we get sucked into these cycles or these like we're in the churn of something and we just don't take the time to self-evaluate. Hmm. And I think self-awareness is a big part of this. Mm-hmm. And I think that we just don't give ourselves the time to be self-aware. You know, we just kind of get sucked into the busyness, into the churn, into the sort of cycle of doing something that we don't sort of, you know, put the brakes on, press pause and say, is what I'm doing making sense? Mm-hmm. Is this working for me? You know, there's this quote that I love, and I forget, it might have been Einstein. I forget exactly who it was. Maybe we can look into it to quote it, but it says, the definition of insanity is trying the same thing over and over again, expecting different results.
Yes.
And I just love that as a foundation because so many photographers will just keep doing the same thing, thinking it's going to work this time. But it's not, you know, what you're doing, the way we're working isn't working. So you need to make a change. And I think that if you're honest with yourself, if you actually give yourself the space to kind of poke your head out of the sand and say, and look around and evaluate and be self-aware, I think we can actually say, yeah, this isn't really working. This isn't the best use of my time. I should stop doing this.
So I'd like to share one strategy that I use, and you can tell me if
please,
this
yeah.
is a good one or not, but it seems yeah. to work with me. But as far as being able to step back from my business, because I do get sucked into the worker bee mode, and often trying to do the same things over and over again, I'm better about it in the last couple of years. But so what I've found is that when I actually get away from all my screens, the computer screens, the phone, and just go take a simple walk in nature, mm-hmm. as I'm walking, things will come to mind, almost like they'll rise to the surface because I'll start off not intentionally thinking about my business. I just, fresh air. I need fresh mm-hmm. air. Mm-hmm. Kind of a hippie. So I need to be out in the air. And so, but thoughts will eventually come to mind and I'll begin right. to, as I step back, evaluate my lifestyle as far as how much time I'm spending on the business and where I am with my bills and mm-hmm. how profitable I'm being. Mm-hmm. And I find that quite helpful to mm-hmm. kind of just get out in a way.
Yes.
And not even bring my camera with me. Dare I say yeah. it, there are times I don't bring yeah. my camera.
Good. Good. Because there is no way that you can focus on those things that actually matter if you're in the churn and the busyness of being the worker bee. Hmm. It's just not going to happen mm-hmm. because you will constantly be distracted. Case in point, where is the number one area that most people have their ideas? What are they doing most of the time?
Oh, they're in the shower, right?
In the shower. Yeah. And in fact, it's hilarious because here in the office, as soon as I walk in the morning, if I say, so I had an idea in the shower, you know, the team, the Sparrow Studio team is like, oh boy, all right, get the notebooks out. Brian had a new idea, you know? But that's it, because when we're in the shower, we're not thinking, we're not doing that churn. We're not right. in the busyness of the day to day. And so we actually have the time and the space in our head to breathe, to think and to be clear. And all of a sudden, when we clear our head of all those things, we have this amazing vision. We have this amazing idea that we then just all of a sudden everything just like lines up. We think of the whole thing. Mm-hmm. Why is that? Because we give ourselves the space to not be in the churn, to not be in the busyness. Photographers need to spend more time there, not in the shower, but in that space mm-hmm. of thinking clearly on things. I mean, if you want to shower more often, feel free. Obviously, you're welcome to. But I think that more photographers need to do exactly what you said, Shamira. Like, you need to get out and be free and be away of that churn, of that busyness. Some people can do it still when they're in their office and they can just shut out those things. Mm-hmm. Some people can't. You have to figure out what makes sense for you, but you have to give yourself that space to break away, to think, be strategic, and separate that CEO role from the worker bee role.
And not to open another whole can of worms, but I will say one thing that's really helped me be able to find the time to step away, because I can just hear our listeners saying, well, how do we even find the time when we're so busy?
Yep.
One thing that I've found helpful is actually to revise my pricing. So I'm charging more than I thought I ever would be years ago, but I'm finding that the more effective and accurate my pricing is to reflect my value, the fewer shoots I have to do. The fewer shoots I have to do, the more I'm able to hyper-serve my clients and give them a real premium product. So I do encourage the listeners to kind of look at your pricing, because I know in here in Michigan, it can quickly become a race to the bottom. When people start off, they assume, I mean, if they're charging anything, they assume they have to be the cheapest photographer. Well, think about it. You know, if you're doing $100 photo shoots, how many of those do you have to do in a month in order just to keep your lights on?
Yeah,
a heck of a lot, you know, versus a $2,000 gig or even a $5,000 gig. So, and also kudos to Sprout Studio, because it's made billing a whole lot easier, actually. It's I was still within the, I think it's, a, is it a 2 week, 14 day or 21 day trial?
We're a 21 day trial right now.
Yeah. So I signed up and I was still within the trial period, and a client actually paid me early. I love the scheduling workflows that we can do. And so I had scheduled out this for her to sign her the project agreement contract, everything, and the billing, and I scheduled it out, and I forgot that email went out. Now normally when I do it manually, sometimes I chicken out, like, oh, you know, I'll just I'll do it tomorrow, personal insecurity. No, you schedule it to go out, and she paid me, and she paid in advance, and she paid just everything up front because it was so easy.
Perfect.
And it's like, huh, I love it.
Went
and took a walk that day.
Exactly. You know, I think, you know, the interesting idea, I think if a photographer listening to us right now is saying, well, how do I find the time for this?
Yeah.
My argument for that would be to say, you already have the time. And I really strongly believe in that, because time is the only fixed asset that we all share. We all have the exact same amount of time. It's just how you use your time, right? And and without getting too philosophical in that direction, let me be really tangible and say, there's a law called Parkinson's Law, and I follow it, and I teach it often when I speak about these kinds of things, about being busy and productivity. And the Parkinson's Law says that tasks will expand to the time that you give them, meaning, if you are setting up to do something, let's say you're setting up to edit a wedding, if you don't have a deadline, a timeline, a slot that you're trying to fit that into, you will find a way to make that thing, editing that wedding, take a lot of time. You know, it's going to be an indefinite amount of time. Whereas if you say, I'm going to edit a wedding and I'm going to get this thing out and exported from Lightroom in an hour. If it's realistic, if it's realistic, if your deadlines and your timelines are realistic, you will find a way to make it work. And as you do this, you can slowly decrease that amount of time. I've gotten now in my own business, I can get a wedding in and out of Lightroom in 30 minutes. Because when I sit down to do it, I'm hyper-focused. I'm doing nothing but editing that wedding, which I think in and of itself, distraction, a lot of people get distracted by things. And then something that should take them 1 hour ends up taking them 5 hours because they got distracted 20 times. And when you get distracted, there's a ton of spillover, because every time you switch tasks, you waste time.
Yeah.
Every single time you switch tasks. So if you can hyper-focus, eliminate distractions, and give yourself deadlines, timelines, sort of a limitation to work within, you will find ways to get things done quicker and thereby freeing up more time to do the things that actually make a difference in your business.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Yeah, I second that. It's something I still struggle with myself, but I've gotten better, and I have noticed, you know, I'm a podcast junkie, but sometimes even so I'll have them on while I'm working, but sometimes even those I find distracting.
Yep.
So sometimes it's just better just to focus, and you can be surprised with how quickly you can get things done.
Yeah. There's an article that I wrote, and if you want, Shmer, I'm happy to give you the link to it for the show notes. It's all about this thing that I call time chunking. That is basically to look at your work week in advance. This is when you're in CEO mode. Look at your work week. Look at all the things that you have to do on a typical work week. You know, like, how much time do I need to spend in production mode typically? How much time do I have to spend in email mode? How much time do I have to spend in sessions? How much time do I have to spend in meetings? How much time do I want to spend working on marketing? Doing all these things, right? Planning this out ahead of time, and then creating a schedule based on your own circadian rhythm, based on your own flow of how you work. And when you actually schedule it out this way, you treat it like a schedule. You treat that 3 hours of production time on Tuesday morning from 9 to 12 as an appointment with yourself, and you take nothing else but the work that needs to fit into that little bucket. And when you look at it that way, all of a sudden, all of your tasks get done in the time that you want them to get done in. And you're thinking, how did I ever spend 60 hours a week doing this when I can now do it in 30 hours a week? But it's that intentional focus and that time of strategizing ahead of time to say, how is my time best spent? And now let me implement that.
That sounds great. Yeah, please do, if you get a chance.
Great.
Send that. I'd love to put that in the show notes for sure. And well, you know, this discussion has been awesome. And you've pretty much answered, you've given me the answers to the questions, many of the questions I was going to ask you. So I guess as we come to the end of our interview, is there any remaining tidbit you'd like to give the listeners that maybe you haven't covered, or any little takeaway?
Interesting. You know, I guess my final thought in sort of this idea of education consumption, of knowledge consumption, everything that you need to be successful, you already have. And I want to empower photographers to know and understand that. Like, you don't need another book. You don't need another podcast. You don't need another podcast. Podcaster too, right? We're on episode 251. And I tell our listeners all the time, I say, you don't need any more of these episodes. Stop listening to these episodes and go do something with them. Go do something. Yeah. You know, I truly believe that there's this thing that I call the sustainability formula that says, if you want to be successful in anything you do, not outside of photography, anything, first you must want it. You must have the passion. Then you must know what to do. And then you must do it. And unless you do all three of those things, you're never going to achieve success. You might love, you know, dogs so much, right? Maybe you want to be a dog walker, and you may know what to do. Like, you may know how to walk a dog and how to feed a dog and dog grooming skills. But unless you actually go and do something with that, it's never going to actually gain traction. So that doing is the biggest piece of it. And I think that for those photographers who are listening, and they're still listening to our conversation here after, you know, half an hour, they're the kind of photographer that loves education. And congratulations on that, because the fact that you're actually consuming education is great, because you're actually listening, you're hungry, and you want to grow, right? That hunger, never let that sort of fire inside you die, because that hunger is what will fuel you forward. If you're satisfied with where you're at any point in time, if you don't ever feel like there's a gap from where you want to be to where you are, then you're going to just fall over and die. You know, like, you're never going to grow unless you have that gap. So the fact that you're listening to this podcast means that you have that gap and that you're hungry and you want more. Shut the podcast off and go do something then, because there's so much education that you probably already have in your head, so many books you probably have on your shelves that you've never done something with. Go and pick any one of them. I don't care which one it is, and go do something about it and just start acting, because I think action is the thing that will actually lead you to success more so than anything else you can do.
Ah, good stuff. Good stuff, Brian. Thank you very much. And final question, but one of the most important, tell us where we can find you online.
Yeah, cool. Thank you. So sproutingphotographer.com is where everything that I do as far as education for the business of photography is all completely free. We have a podcast as well. So if, you know, folks listening like podcasts, which hint, they do, because they're listening to us on a podcast right now, then I'd love to have them over there as well. You can never have too many podcasts, because it is a great form of passive education, right? And I think that's really great. I listen to podcasts when I walk, when I cut the grass, when I'm doing anything. I think it's just a great way to kind of keep the sort of mind fueled, right? So you can find us in iTunes. You can find us wherever you find podcasts. Like I said, sproutingphotographer.com is where we write about the business of photography. And then Sprout Studio is the software that we've talked about a couple times. That is the sort of masterpiece, my sort of, like, that's what I get to leave behind, right? In terms of something that I'm really proud of that we've created. And you can find more information about Sprout Studio at getsproutstudio.com.
You should be proud of it. I highly encourage our listeners to go check out both of those resources. And I just want to thank you, Brian. This has been an awesome conversation, and I just appreciate you letting us get into your head.
Of course. Thanks for having me.
If you're enjoying this podcast, I ask that you please leave a review on iTunes or Stitcher or wherever you're listening. The more reviews we get, the easier it is for people to find this podcast in search rankings. We want to reach as many people as possible and help improve our photo industry. I appreciate you all. Thanks for listening.